Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Here's the problem with the world who is at war with God. They have done just that. They have sought asylum in the world. On their beaches, everything is good, kicking back, life is okay, there is no God. Here's the problem. They're going to find out that there is a God, and they're going to find out that they were an enemy of God, because they're going to have to step foot in front of Him one day. The Scripture says that every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
It's so easy to get distracted with the things of this world, to live life as if this is all there is and that things will never end. How sad it is to see how people live their lives with no sense of God and eternity. But regardless how many people deny the existence of God, all of us will one day stand before Him and give an account as to how we lived our lives. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 3, with our continuing study entitled, What is a Christian?
When the heart is pure, when the heart is truly one after God's own heart, the vision of God becomes clear. But when the heart is tainted, what we have is a distorted view of God. He always seems to side with us. He always seems to understand us. Warren Wiersbe said, nothing robs the heart of spiritual vision like sin. For example, just a few examples. There are many examples we could cover, but I just want to give a few. The person who is undisciplined in their life, they can't control maybe their emotions, they can't control their life. There's really no sense of order in some area. That person will often view God and cling to the all-loving God. God is loving. He's loving. You're being too judgmental. You're being too disciplined. And the administrator, the one with the gift of administration, can't understand them. They're whacked out. No, sometimes they're just different. They see things from another perspective, but we have to be careful because sometimes that's the only perspective you see. And if you have all love, then we don't have a such thing as hell. We don't have a such thing as judgment and wrath at all. Everyone's going to heaven. God's love. And the way we define love is acceptance and tolerance today. So we have to be very careful. The religious person, let's talk about the other side of that coin or the extreme opposite. The very religious person. Now this person, maybe they didn't have the past that the person who sees the love of God. I know it's the love of God. Where I came from, I received the love of God and it's the love of God. This guy, maybe he was all right in life. He didn't have such a bad past. Not like that guy. And he's been pretty good. He's following the Lord. Fairly righteous by today's standards or by man's standards, even by scriptural standards, doing pretty good. This person can have a tendency to see God as the judge. God's mad at that. God doesn't like that. You got to follow these rules, rule after rule. We have to be careful. You see how your view of God and your perspective from your position in life affects you. If you don't have a pure heart, you have a skewed heart, a tainted view of God, and we must be careful. Let's talk about a couple of others really quick. The spiritually lazy. They don't want to really do anything for the Lord. How they view God is He's the cosmic Santa Claus. Yeah, I just claim it. I receive it. I claim it. I want it. Give it to me now, 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 Lord. And so they're asking God for all this stuff, not doing anything they need to obtain it. He says, hey, here are some disciplines. Here are some things that you need to do. Let's talk about both sides. There are some disciplines you need to do, or you need to reach out and be loving, whatever the case may be. You need to do something. And they say, I don't want to do anything. I just want you to give it to me. I'm not going to follow you, Lord, but give me the abilities to make a lot of money. I promise you I'll give some to you. If you won't follow me with your life, I'm afraid of what you'll do with your money. And so, the spiritually lazy see him as Santa Claus out in the sky. And then there's the stubborn, the unwilling to change. I'm not going to change anything. God loves me. I know he loves me. What do you think they think about God? Very often they view him as an insurance policy. They're the ones that will very often stand so firmly by, you can't lose your salvation. Don't tell me you can lose your salvation. I will not have any of it. And so they stand on that because they don't want to lose their salvation. And that's their view of God. Well, you know what I think about the salvation issue. We are eternally secure in Christ. You're secure in Christ. The question is, are you in Christ? As we've been looking through this beatitude, so I'm asking you, are you in Christ? Do you see this work going on in your life? Because if this work has nothing to do with your life, whatever insurance policy you may have in your back pocket called God or Jesus or Bible, I would get rid of that one and start getting in the Word of God, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and follow Him. Because in Christ you are secure and not in anything else. He's not an insurance policy. But to see Him clearly and represent Him rightly, you need a pure heart. Because how you see God affects everything in your life. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Your heart. Well, how do you keep your heart? How do I keep my heart? You protect your heart. You guard it by protecting it from what comes in. How does it come in? Through your eyes and through your ears. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." Why? Because the things coming in through the bad eye will make darkness. "If therefore the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And on many an occasion, Jesus said, "Hear, if you can hear, be careful how you hear." So that today, while you're in church, first of all, are you listening and trying to listen to what God wants to say? Second, are you doing it for you and not for someone else? Be careful how you hear and who you're hearing for. We need to hear for ourselves. So we need to guard our hearts. What do you let into your heart? What comes into your eyes? What do you view? What do you look at? What do you listen to? What do you read? What are you consumed with that's coming into you that will become a god in your own heart and life? We have to be very careful about these things. What do you watch? What do you listen to? Do you really have a desire to know God? These are things we should ask ourselves. You know, a study was done on youth in the church today. And the study found that when parents are looking for a church and the youth is their emphasis, when their children are their emphasis, what they're looking for is they're not looking for truth. Like, wow, that's truth. What they're looking for are activities. They're looking for games. Will my child like it? Whether it's the word or not, will he like it? I'm looking for that. They're looking for a place where their child can gain merit points because of activities of serving in something as notable as a church. And so they're looking for churches for those reasons. And they're looking for friends to connect with. We need a place where we can have friends. So the church is becoming a social outlet, a social place, a social club, rather than a place to hear truth and the Word of God. The youth are being challenged more by video games in churches today rather than by God's Word. And it's a sad state. To develop a pure heart requires hard work. Heart work. It requires the Word of God. It's the only way. Hanging around with nice, good kids who play video games is not going to cause you to pursue hunger and thirst after righteousness. It may be, hey, I like the church. I like their selection of video games. And they're biblical video games. And the guy, he shares a couple of scriptures and we love each other. And we did this thing today. We each made a sandwich and we gave it to a different person. I had to eat someone else's sandwich. It was like, God, how we want to give. And oh man, the principal was there. And by the way, I beat my high score on. That's not church. That's not what the church was intended for. To just pass our lives away for the glory of God. No. We sit in this building, we select a place where we're going to hear the Word of God to inspire us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to go out and love, and to go out and share the fact that there is a judgment coming. All of those things. The world needs to know these things. And the only way that we grow and the only way we become pure in heart is if our hearts are challenged. If you know anything about gardening, you know that one of the easiest things to grow in your garden is weeds. All you got to do is not do anything. If you don't do anything, weeds are sure to grow and everything else is sure to die. So you have to go out and you have to tend to the garden. You have to go and actually look at it. And as you're watering, you go, it's in the course of watering and tilling that you go, hey, there's a weed, there's something there. Oh, we need to outline the bed so that the grass doesn't come in and choke out what I'm trying to produce here. You have to take time. You have to tend. You have to look. And it takes work. But then if you work hard enough, what do you end up with? You end up with a pure garden. A garden free of the things that would destroy it, right? That's what God wants for our hearts. And that's why when the Word of God is taught in full dose, there's conviction. I don't want you to walk away saying, well, that's his opinion and we'll pick or choose. I should say a lot less then. I'm wasting my time. I do need to get to the Word of God and make sure that we're aligning our lives with the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's unforgiving in the sense that if you say, I don't want to do that, it doesn't chase you down and say, well, okay, we'll modify for you. We must conform to it. We must have the right heart, the pure heart to see God for who He is. How do we do that? The Word of God. Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way or keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. The more word, the better. The purer the word, the better. The stronger the word, yes, it pierces, but the better. Scripture talks about a friend as one who will tell you the hard thing, but it's true. And they'll tell you in a loving way, but it's true. And at least you can see the truth. What you do with it is between you and God, but at least you've heard. It's better than them letting you walk off with something on your mouth, all over your mouth. You don't even realize it's there. I didn't want to tell him that, man. We're friends. I wanted to make him feel all right. That would have embarrassed him. Oh, and he wasn't embarrassed at the end of the day when finally somebody said, hey, man, you got stuff all over your mouth. Oh, man, that's breakfast. That was there all day. No, it's more loving to hear the truth. And if we can't hear it in church, then I don't know why we go. Because it's not just to come together and be a social group. It's to hear the Word of God, that alone that will cause us to see God clearly for who He is. So blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God and they will find themselves aligning with the will of God. And that brings us to verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. James said, why are there quarrels among you? Basically, he said, you want what you want and you don't get it because you're selfish. You're all about you. And so there are fights. I want it my way. I want to see it this way. And I want you to see it this way. There was a story of two store owners who were across from each other in a very small town. And they both sold merchandise. They were the two stores in the town. So they were in a heated competition. They didn't really care for one another. And one of them came across this lamp and realized that it was a lamp that could have a genie. And so he rubbed it and the genie comes out. Obviously not a true story. And so we don't teach that here. Truth. It's about truth. And so as the genie comes out, he says, I'm going to give you one wish. But here's the catch. Whatever I give you, I'm going to give the guy across the street double. Oh, man. That was the worst thing he could hear. And so he said, all right, here's what I want. Blind me in one eye. In other words, blind the other guy in both eyes. He said he couldn't handle the fact that the other guy would have more than him. That's a problem today. We don't really like when the scripture says, rejoice with those who rejoice. When others are experiencing favor, things are going well for them. We don't like to rejoice. We get jealous. Why can't I have that? I want that. And so wars happen because of what we want. Jealousy and strife, all of that. We must pursue peace. We're to be peacemakers. And God begins to work in us that heart of being a peacemaker. First, you can't be a peacemaker unless you're at peace with God. Did you know that everyone is at war with God? Everyone is an enemy of God until they come to faith and believe in Him and let Him be Lord. He's Lord or He's nothing. Or He's kind of enemy. You're in one kingdom or the other, and the two kingdoms are colliding. And so it's like this. NSA leaker Edward Snowden, they're coming after him for espionage charges. Now, he's at war with the government, right? We know he's at war with the government. But here's what Edward can do. Edward can go away from our government. He can forget about our government. He can find a place that will house him and give him asylum, grant him asylum. And he could live on a beach and have a great life and forget all about the fact that he's at war with the U.S. government. Well, how would he find out that he's at war with the U.S. government? Let him try to step foot back on this soil. He will find out very quickly he's at war with the U.S. government. Oh, he can forget about it, brush it under. But if he comes back, he's going to find out very quick. Here's the problem with the world who is at war with God. They have done just that. They have sought asylum in the world. On their beaches, everything is good, kicking back, life is okay. There is no God. Here's the problem. They're going to find out that there is a God, and they're going to find out that they were an enemy of God, because they're going to have to step foot in front of Him one day. The scripture says that every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. There's no option. Snowden, he can actually die somewhere else, never have to come back to this country. However, that's not true for us in the eternal realm. You will stand before your Maker and give an account of what you did with your existence. I didn't believe in you because, did you ever look in the mirror? You exist. Isn't that enough? No, it wasn't enough. You didn't think about it enough to think about evolution and what that was all about, that you came from a rock. And, oh, we came from one being that is so, oh, the odds of this happening. And yet there was a male and then a female. You didn't think. You didn't let me be God. You didn't look in the mirror and give glory to me. And you're accountable. You'll have no excuse. So we have to pursue peace with God first, and then a peace of God comes as a result of peace with God. It's like the little girl who, she had her little floaties on and couldn't swim and could touch the ground, but she still saw her dad swimming in the deep and said, Father, I want to be out there where you are. And he goes, honey, it's deeper out here. You can't even touch the ground out here. It's better for you up there. And she goes, but as long as I'm close to you, I feel safer. You see, we get the peace of God when we are closest to God. Charles Spurgeon said, I fear for those whose religion is that of simply stepping in and getting their feet wet. I fear that they will too easily turn when a wave comes and step back on the sandy shore. But for those who are willing to walk into their faith up until they are in over their heads so that they are drifted by the currents, taken wherever the currents take them, that person will never return to the shore. They will be carried away by the currents. And the same is true for us. When we give ourselves over, that current for us is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who begins to lead us. So the peace of God comes as a result of closeness with God. And then we begin to pursue the peace of God for others, ambassadors. Paul said, 2 Corinthians, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, be reconciled to God." And then finally, you pursue peace with others, with all men as possible. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, I like that. If it is possible, some just won't let you have peace, but if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. The antagonist throws stones, makes snide comments, harsh remarks, something to stir up contention. They're very abrasive too. Some of them can be very abrasive. You got to be very careful. But the peacemaker takes those harsh comments, takes those hard attitudes, takes those stones that are thrown, those words that come, and they, instead of throwing them back, they build a bridge. They look for common ground and seek the heart of God from that place. How can we move from here? This is our common ground. Okay, we don't agree in these areas. There's trouble in these areas, but this is our common ground. So how do we start at the common place, and how do we pursue God? What does that look like? Where do we go? That's the peacemaker. They don't avoid battles. They transform the battles into a ministry of reconciliation and godliness. How do they do it? Well, not in their own strength, for sure. It's not our nature. It's not our tendency. But Scripture says it's the fruit of the Spirit. Peace. Peace in our hearts. Being a peacemaker. Romans 5:5 says, God has poured out His love into our hearts by His Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Once you are pure in heart, once you're a peacemaker, guess what happens next? You become a little too different for the world to handle, and your odds of fitting into verse 10 go way up, and we're going to talk about that next week. Are you pure in heart? Are you a peacemaker? Speaking of peacemakers, what's the volume in your home? Because that'll tell you a lot about the peace that exists in your home. Do the kids fight? Do the kids fight all the time? Raised voices? Can't get along? That's a sign that there needs to be some peacemaker and peacemaking in the home. And maybe it's mom and dad. Maybe they're the example. Maybe mom and dad are fighting all the time. Here's your counsel. Stop seeking what you want. Find that common ground and start seeking what God wants with all of your heart. Then you'll see peace. You'll see clear direction. Is knowing God a primary focus in your life? You know, part of purity is not being mixed. Water, if you put anything in it, is not pure water. It's tainted. And a pure heart, if you put any other cravings and longings in that heart, it is not a heart that is pure before God. It's a heart that has an angle. It's a heart that has a favor. And until we can have that pure heart, emptying ourselves of us, less of us, it's so hard to see God clearly. God said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Many of our lives have become so divided that we need to get back to a place where all we want to do is know God. Let me close with this scripture, 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul said to a church who, by the way, had become religious, but weird in their religion. Their lives were not an example. They were going to court and fighting and all of this. They were allowing immorality in the church. It was just not a representative of God. And he said, "I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Or rather than just simplicity, it is your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. I'm afraid something has taken you away from that. It shows. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website, www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.